540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
I'm Ed Donahue with an AP News Minute. At the COP27 Climate Change Summit in Egypt, President Biden says new spending on clean energy initiatives has cemented his country's commitment to fighting global warming.
Thanks to the actions we've taken, I can stand here as President of the United States of America and say with confidence, the United States of America will meet our emissions targets by 2030.
The president discussed a new supplemental rule that will crack down on methane emissions, expanding on a similar regulation his administration released last year. Methane is a potent greenhouse gas.
Methane is 80 times more potent than carbon, and it accounts for nearly half of the net warming we're experiencing now. So cutting methane by at least 30% by 2030 can be our best chance.
U.S. commitment is some $375 billion over a decade to fight climate change. I'm Ed Donahue.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Only 17% of Native Americans continue their education after high school. One tribal college in Wisconsin is working hard to buck that trend. Mike Moen reports.
This fall, the College of Menominee Nation kicked off a year-long celebration as it observes its 30th anniversary. School President Christopher Caldwell says it's important to display how much of an asset the campus is to the community. He says part of that plays out in welcoming Indigenous students who didn't have a good experience in trying out a mainstream college or university.
And so they come back home, they might not have their degree, or they come back with debt.
Caldwell says schools like his closely work with these students, and he hopes their welcoming environment rubs off on mainstream campuses. He says places like CMN are also important because they can educate the community about a local tribe's history. This year's celebration coincides with the 50th anniversary of the Menominee Restoration Act of 1973. That policy reversed an earlier decision by Congress to terminate Menominee status as a federally recognized tribe. Caldwell says it's an important story to keep telling.
We really, as an academic institution, represent the intent of that act in all of the efforts of what our tribal nations look to do, which is to assert their sovereignty, their self-determination.
And he says they're working to revitalize traditional aspects of the Menominee language and culture. That coincides with similar efforts around the country to prevent Indigenous languages from going extinct as a number of tribes lose their elders. Caldwell says it's a key example of the role an institution like his can play and something other colleges can learn from. Mike Moen, Wisconsin News Connection.
And for Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
Suddenly, my quarterback is the number one trending topic. Why, you might ask, is Aaron Rodgers trending on Twitter? He's out this game. He's got COVID-19. And to my perception, he freaking lied to us, man. I'm very frustrated that he is not eligible to play this Sunday, especially when you find out your quarterback is a half a Trumpster. And he claims, I'm not a flat earther, I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I just play one in the NFL. That pisses me off, man. I was going to bet on that team. Maybe. New time, 3 to 6 p.m. and Dom.
So all you folks out there, if you haven't registered to vote, register to vote. Get ready to vote. There are so many things on the ballot this November, at our freedom, our liberty, and our way of life. But we'll get to all of that this evening.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
Dad, I picked up your pills, made your lunch, and your laundry is done.
When you care for a loved one, you take care of everything. But are you taking care of yourself? Find free care guides at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
It's 4 a.m. and you're sucking baby snot through a tube because she's congested. If you love her that much, love her enough to make sure she's buckled in the right car seat. Find out more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this. Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
You are listening to pre-recorded content on Devil Radio. To see our station's entire live lineup, check out DevilRadio927.com.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Real information, good conversation, unabashedly Wisconsin. Here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Live once again on your radios and your social media feeds on this Thursday, November 17th. Good to be back from a post-election break. Welcome to the State of Wiscommon Sense for this Thursday, where we are in the low 20s on Lake Wasota. We have snow on the roads, snow showers, basically snow showers stretching from New York to Idaho, from Kentucky to Colorado. Just a big area of snow. So nothing that you're going to be able to escape anytime soon. So please drive carefully out there. Coming up this morning, State Senator Melissa Agard, the new Democratic leader in the Wisconsin State Senate. We'll talk about plans now that the election is over and whether they and Governor Evers can work with legislative Republicans, even as Republicans continue to talk about, you know, extreme positions and outright obstruction. We'll also talk a bit more about the Packers. They've got a game tonight playing the Tennessee Titans at Lambeau Field. The game is on Amazon Prime. It'll only be on regular TV in the Green Bay and Milwaukee markets. Yesterday marked a great big victory for Senator Tammy Baldwin and a great big victory for advocates of same-sex and interracial marriage, as the Respect for Marriage Act cleared a major hurdle in the Senate after getting enough votes from Senate Republicans. This is something that Senator Baldwin and several Republicans, Susan Collins of Maine, Rob Portman from Ohio, Tom Tillis from North Carolina, they've all been involved in. To basically, codify the marriage protections that have been granted in the past by the U.S. Supreme Court for same-sex marriage. It was in the Obergefell decision. But now that we've seen what this current Supreme Court, made up of right-wing politicians in judges' robes, will do to repeal abortion rights, naturally, people are concerned that the same thing could happen to marriage rights. And it's something that Senator Baldwin talked about on the Senate floor yesterday, addressing critics, including Ron Johnson and Wisconsin Congressman Tom Tiffany and others, who said that, you know, the bringing this up was all about division. Oh, no, as Senator Baldwin makes clear, the division is already out there by those who want to pull back marriage rights. And that's why they need to be enshrined in federal law.
I believe that there is an urgency to pass the Respect for Marriage Act in order to heal such divisions and provide certainty to married, interracial, and same-sex couples that the protections, rights, and responsibilities that flow from their marriages will endure. The Supreme Court should not be in a position to undermine the stability of families with a stroke of the pen. So now Congress must act. And Congress is acting with a full-throated endorsement from the American people. More than 70% of Americans support marriage equality, including a majority of Democrats, Republicans, and independents. This legislation unites Americans. With the Respect for Marriage Act, we can ease the fear that millions of same-sex and interracial couples have that their freedoms and their rights could be stripped away. By passing this bill, we are guaranteeing same-sex and interracial couples, regardless of where they live, that their marriage is legal and that they will continue to enjoy the rights and responsibilities that all other marriages are afforded. And this will give millions of loving couples the certainty, the dignity, and the respect that they need and that they deserve.
And Senator Baldwin went on to say in her remarks that this is not just about, you know, a wedding ceremony. A lot of people kind of trivialize this and say, well, this is just so you can say you're married. No. She explains that, you know, marriage comes with a huge amount of legal rights, and that same-sex couples without that protection don't have sometimes those legal rights when it comes to parent-teacher conferences, estate planning, health insurance coverage, hospital or nursing home visitation. And to those who would say, again, there's no rush, there's not currently a case, she notes, as we all have noticed with this current court, they use something called the shadow docket that basically rushes cases and allows them to make decisions pretty much in the shadows, in secret, with very little argument, with very little of the customs, norms, procedures that the U.S. Supreme Court has normally had in these instances. So you don't need to wait for a case to come up before Clarence Thomas and some of the other right-wing justices could rush something along. And so instead, Tammy Baldwin and others said it's time to provide that certainty, that dignity, and that respect. Now, again, it cleared yesterday's procedural vote, which helped it overcome a filibuster, because 12 Republicans joined in and helped provide the votes to get past the filibuster. So Ron Johnson and the others who are against it can't filibuster it now. It'll come up for a final vote. It'll then go to the House of Representatives, which passed an earlier version, but now needs to vote on this revised Senate version, where Brian Steil was the only Republican to support it last time around. But it will eventually pass, and marriage equality will finally be enshrined in federal law, thanks to Tammy Baldwin and some friends. Senator Melissa Agard next. This is Up North News Radio.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. On an earlier edition, we talked to three women, med students, about whether they're going to stay in Wisconsin to practice medicine.
All this Roe v. Wade stuff, and now OBGYN's hands are so tied. I don't want to go through 12 years of training to have some person that didn't do training tell me how to do my job.
It is not a binary choice. You're for or against abortion. It is a healthcare decision. We all have those stories, and people want to hear them.
Don't miss the real stories here on Up North News.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out the Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. only on WAUK 540 a.m. 101 FM, The Shaw.
Here's your updated forecast on The Shaw.
Eyes level off around 28 this afternoon under mainly clear skies. Southerly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Lows around 24 tonight, mainly cloudy skies. Daytime highs approaching 36. Tomorrow, bright sunshine. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times Tuesday, with daytime highs approaching 41. 45 Wednesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 28 degrees.
Welcome back. It's quarter past seven. This is Up North News Radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow, along with State Senator Melissa Agard from Madison, the new Senate Democratic leader, minority leader of the state Senate. When the new session begins come January, Senator Agard, good morning.
Good morning. How are you this morning, Pat?
Thank you. Well, thanks. Back from a little post-election break, which I'm guessing you haven't been able to take yet, and hopefully there's one in your plans.
My calendar's pretty booked for the next, week or two. And then I start seeing some light. I think that I'm going to take your lead and mark some time off for some personal R&R. We can't roll up our sleeves and take care of the community if we're not putting ourselves in there at some point.
That's right. And I'm going to start actually not in the Senate, but in the Assembly, simply because you talked about being able to take time off, being able to let your guard down. And something that I read is just so indicative of where I think we still are with Republicans in the legislature that I just wanted to bring it to folks' attention. Now, Republicans did end up winning a two-thirds majority in the state Senate, but they fell short in the Assembly, so they technically can't override a veto from Governor Evers. But they have now indicated that they're willing to play games, and that if at some point during the upcoming session, three Assembly Dems are absent, and if all the Republicans show up, they might try to jam through some veto override attempts, which, again, it's not that they can't do it, but it was traditionally not done because people were traditionally decent human beings. Well, that's my opinion of it. I just wanted to ask about, we talk about, being able to let your guard down, take some time off. And for Democrats, it feels like you're not going to get to do that if these are the reindeer games that Republicans are going to play with you.
Yeah, it's really not the Wisconsin way. Our state has really been built on a heritage of people who help each other out, right? Back in the day, building barns, to this day still, I'm hoping that people are baking casseroles for their friends and neighbors. I know I've got homemade soup in my freezer that I share with folks when, they are in need. And I think that we should be carrying those same values into our government. And only under the most extreme circumstances should something like that be considered. But before we've even gone down the chute, we haven't even had inauguration yet. We have the same governor that we've had for the last 4 years. He's salt of the earth and very earnest and very communicative about what it is that he's going to do. And clearly the people of Wisconsin voted for that type of leadership. And despite the fact that we were told there was going to be a red wave, not only across Wisconsin, but across our nation, we did not see that. It's really unfortunate that Republicans in the Wisconsin state legislature feel like the way they can get ahead is by changing the rules or bending the rules in their best interest, as opposed to working in the best interest of people all across the state of Wisconsin. So frankly, I am hopeful that people in our state are paying attention to how it is that they're setting the table and calling them out on it before they start making their moves.
Now, the main business of the next session, as it is every other year, is writing a state budget for the two-year period that follows. At the same time, the state is is enjoying the problem of a record budget surplus of some $5 billion, in large part because of Governor Evers' stewardship of the economy through a pandemic. And, the way that businesses and individuals were able to stay afloat and by staying in business, help to generate that surplus. Governor Evers has put forward a plan that would allow for, tax cuts as well as targeted investment. Republicans sat on the surplus all year long, hoping Tim Michaels would get elected and they could turn all that into, just tax cuts. Your Senate counterpart, Devin LeMahieu, the Republican leader, was making noises over the weekend, again, about wanting to pursue a flat tax as kind of a primary fiscal plan. Tell folks why that's not the right approach as you get into what you ultimately think can be done by Republicans, Evers, and legislative Democrats working on that surplus.
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, if the Republicans and the legislature, again, are going to play games, and that, frankly, when they talk about wanting to spend their time and energy and the tax dollars of the state of Wisconsin on passing or moving forward policy in regards to a flat tax, we know that Governor Evers isn't going to support that. And it will be a non-starter. At the same time, yes, it is a budget season for the state of Wisconsin. We know that the best budgets are written when you have people who come together and there's give and take, when there's collaborative efforts and there's compromise. But unfortunately, in the last decade of Republican rule in the Wisconsin legislature, it seems that my colleagues on that side of the aisle have lost the ability to know what compromise is. And, you know, I suggest they go to an elementary school playground and look at how those kids are interacting with each other, because they do a better job learning how to compromise on how to share the toys on those playgrounds. Certainly, we need to bring that close to $5 billion surplus back into our communities all across the state of Wisconsin. And one of the things that I believe that we need to prioritize, not only within this budget, but also with that surplus, is supporting our local governments, whether it's our town boards, our city councils, our county boards, our school boards. Our local governments have been strangled by the levy limits that were imposed by Governor Walker under his rule. I don't even know if I can call it leadership of the state of Wisconsin. And we saw a record number of unprecedented referendums all across the state of Wisconsin by local governments simply for operating budgets so that they can pay their police officers, so they can pay their EMTs, and so they can pay their firefighters, so they can make sure that the roads are plowed in the winter and that people are safe in their communities. So for a party that has had the reins in the legislature for as long as they have, and as they campaigned around the state of Wisconsin for the last 6 months or so, saying that they are the party of local control and that they are the party of public safety, this is how it is that they can actually show that, because in fact, they have not been honoring local control and they have been strangling public safety for our communities. So let's put those dollars back to work for the state of Wisconsin. And at the same time, I very much believe that we have enough money that we can invest in tax relief for hardworking people all across the state of Wisconsin, not just the wealthy and well-connected.
The new state Senate Democratic leader, Melissa Agar, joins us on Up North News Radio, talking about the next session now that the election is behind us. Again, some of the things that Republicans were saying involved what in my interpretation is maybe hostage taking is too strong to go, because again, you're going to have to reach agreement on something. But the way that I heard it was, well, we'll let, you know, public schools get some more funding, some more support from the surplus, but only if you also allow us to use some of it to continue to fund two parallel education systems in Wisconsin by, you know, giving more money to private schools that consistently show that they're not any better than public schools in terms of performance, and certainly not as good in terms of accountability. So I guess to ask it directly, do you feel like that may have to be where this goes, is to get public school support from Republicans? They're not going to allow that unless private schools get a bigger bite of the apple than they already get.
Well, you know, I think that one of the things, Pat, that you know from your time in the Capitol is that there are really loud voices out there, but those loud voices don't necessarily match up with what the majority of the people of the state of Wisconsin are asking for. And I know in Wisconsin that we have always prided ourselves on having a strong and really effective public school system. You know, we were the first state that had kindergarten in it, for gosh sakes. We have an amazing technical school system and an amazing four-year college system. And, you know, we really value people being able to not only from itty bitties, babies, being able to be cared for so that their parents can go to work and know that their development is going to be nurtured in the best way that it can, all the way up to folks that are looking for career changes, that we have the best public system for education so that people can achieve their dreams. And it is really, I think, a bad investment for the state of Wisconsin when we aren't investing in and supporting our public school system from zero to people wanting to take a different path with their career. When that is struggling, when we are not taking care of it and nurturing it in the way that we should, to be investing money into unaccountable and private school systems. That's not going to help Wisconsin go forward. Right now in the state of Wisconsin, one of our most successful exports happens to be very heartbreaking. It happens to be our young people. The amount of brain drain that is leaving the state of Wisconsin right now is absolutely egregious. And I don't know about you and your listeners, but I'm a mom of four. And my oldest son has decided to take up residence in New York State as opposed to here in Wisconsin. After, you know, we invested in him in his public school education, you know, all the way through the University of Wisconsin. And if we're going to be a state that continues to move forward, if we're going to be a state that supports our Main Street businesses and our tech industries, we need those young people to be staying here. Every business owner that I have talked to has talked to me about how it is that they are having a hard time finding the right people for the jobs. Employee retention and recruitment is a real challenge in the state of Wisconsin. Well, folks, if we invest in our public school systems, we're going to be able to address that. And if we make sure that we carry the values of what Wisconsinites raise their kids to believe in, they're going to continue to want to call Wisconsin home. But what we're telling our kids is not what is happening in the Capitol building, and it's causing a real disconnect. And it's very concerning for me for the future of Wisconsin. So we're going to fight like hell for our public schools.
And then one last thing that Assembly Speaker Voss has indicated, and I'm sure Senator Lemieux will go along with as well if Republicans insist on it, is that before they allow any exception for rape and incest in an abortion ban, that women will first have to, you know, be required to get a police report, you know, an exam, everything else intrusive that comes with it. What are your thoughts on whether that constitutes a compromise?
There is no compromise when it comes to reproductive healths and freedoms. It is absolutely imperative that everyone has the ability to go to their doctor's office and not bring along the police department and their politicians and the court system. There cannot be any exemptions in the sense that Speaker Voss is. People have spoken not only in Wisconsin, but also across the nation that reproductive health freedoms need to be protected. And we must absolutely ensure that the 1849 abortion ban is repealed in the state of Wisconsin. And I am so glad that Josh Call was reelected to be our attorney general in Wisconsin. And he is leading on a court case that will clarify this for us.
It does make me wonder if, again, for a group that often says that non-fiscal things shouldn't be in the budget, if that's something they're going to work on separately or try to jam in the budget to try to force something. I don't know. Maybe that's even too far even for them.
Yeah, well, we know Congressman Pocan is wonderful at magic tricks, but it seems like my colleagues on the other side of the aisle are trying to learn to be magicians. And we need to watch with great detail what it is that they are doing. Because, folks, legislating is not about talking points and sound bites. Legislating is about all the work that is happening and the earnestness that people bring to the table.
Senate Democratic Leader Melissa Agard from Madison. So great to talk to you. Congratulations. And I'm sure we'll be visiting again real soon.
Thank you, Pat.
All right. Thanks, Senator. We'll take this break and have some more Wisconsin news and headlines coming up. This is Up North News Radio.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
It's the Mad City Bridal Expo Sunday, November 20th at the Doubletree Hotel on East Washington in Madison. Imagine planning your wedding in just one day. Pre-register for free tickets at madcitybridalexpo.com and receive a $200 gift card. Tickets also available at the door for just $10. Read all the details at madcitybridalexpo.com. Like them on Facebook. It's the Mad City Bridal Expo Sunday, November 20th at the Doubletree in Madison. Your ring is just the beginning.
Give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you. Thursdays at 11:30, we are joined by Dr. Michael McCutcheon, who is a psychologist, a lecturer, and additionally, he's won 10,000 fantasy football leagues and loves to help people make easy, free money. Dr. Mike fixes your life and your lineup.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
AP News. I'm Ed Donahue. Sources tell the AP the head of U.S. Customs and Border Protection is being forced out.
Chris Magnus tells the Los Angeles Times he's been asked to step down or face termination, and he's defending his record and says he won't resign. Two sources tell the Associated Press the move is part of a larger shakeup expected at the Department of Homeland Security. In the fiscal year that just ended September 30th, there was a 37% increase in the number of migrants stopped at the border, surpassing 2 million for the first time. It's more than twice the highest level during the Trump administration. Jackie Quinn, Washington.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says special military units have entered the city of Kherson, hours after Russia said it had completed withdrawing troops from the city. Kherson is one of the first cities to be captured in the war in Ukraine. The withdrawal could act as a springboard for further Ukrainian advances into occupied territory. At the COP27 climate change summit in Egypt, President Biden says new spending on clean energy initiatives has cemented the country's commitment to fighting global warming. He spoke about a new supplemental rule that will crack down on methane emissions. Methane is a potent greenhouse gas that contributes significantly to global warming.
Methane is 80 times more potent than carbon, and it accounts for nearly half of the net warming we're experiencing now. So cutting methane by at least 30% by 2030 can be our best chance to keep within reach of 1.5 degrees Celsius target.
The U.S. has committed some $375 billion over a decade to fight climate change. Days after Election Day, Democrats are holding on to narrow leads in key Arizona contests. But the races for U.S. Senate and governor there are still too early to call. About a fifth of the total ballots are left to be counted in Arizona. I'm Ed Donahue, AP News.
We have to really understand how critically important a time this is. Time for talk is over. The time for action is now. Because my voice has always been and will continue to be for people who don't have a voice.
Tune in to the Earl Ingram Show every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Only on WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, The Shaw.
Neil Armstrong waited 6 hours and 39 minutes to step onto the surface of the moon. Jackie Robinson waited 20 months to play his first game with the Brooklyn Dodgers. And even DiCaprio had to wait 22 years to win an Oscar. You can wait until your destination. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Follow Up North News online anytime. Search Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for Up North News WI and our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com.
Birthdays today include singer Gordon Lightfoot, who turns 84 years old today on this November 17th. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is Up North News Radio. Packers play tonight, if you hadn't heard yet. Thursday Night Football. It's on Amazon Prime. It'll be on local TV in Green Bay and Milwaukee, but Amazon Prime every place else, except for a few bars and restaurants that are part of a deal with DirecTV. Let's see. Right now, we've got... here we go. Oh, Packers are favored by 3 points. That I guess that's what you get for a home game, is you're a 3-point favorite, because they're taking on Tennessee, which is 7-2. They lead the AFC South. The Packers are 4-6. And yet I guess, the odds makers think that it's going to be enough of a toss up that the Packers are 3-point favorites on this. We'll see, especially on short rest after taking on the Cowboys the way that they did earlier this week. As I was, one of the things I did not ask Senator Agard about, because again, it would have sounded like we were just, twisting the knife, shall we say, figuratively speaking, in a state assembly rep. But Janelle Branchen, the Menominee Falls Republican and conspiracy theorist who chairs the Assembly Elections Committee and has, you know, been on the outs with Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, now finds herself on the outs of her own Republican caucus. Her own Republican colleagues in the Assembly voted last week to bar Branchen from attending a closed caucus session because they no longer trust her. Apparently, a letter from caucus chair Rob Sommerfeld, Republican from up here in Bloomer, sent to Branchen on Friday, said the continual issues from the past have led our caucus to lose trust in you. And for this reason, this vote was taken. And again, you know, Branchen has embraced every Trump pillow guy, you know, wackadoodle conspiracy, used the Assembly Elections Committee to provide multiple dog and pony show venues for people that wanted to claim 2020 election fraud that just didn't exist. And she supported a write-in opponent for Robin Voss. Now, Voss beat back the write-in. He won in a general election. He's still the Speaker of the Assembly. What's the old saying? If you fire at the king, you better not miss. And she missed. And so now she is out of caucus. Branchen defended her work in a radio interview, saying that if Voss had wanted her support, quote, he should have earned it like any other candidate. I supported Robin Voss's opponent because I don't feel Robin Voss can unify this party. Last Thursday, Robin Voss had an opportunity to prove me wrong. Instead, he proved me right. Well, that certainly is one way of interpreting that. The other is that the Trumpers in the party, while still basically in control, they're not ruling the party with the iron fist that they used to. Again, don't get me wrong, Robin Voss is still going to be very supportive of Donald Trump if he is the nominee. But prior to that, there are plenty of Republicans who continue to distance themselves from Trump and a potential campaign run for president. Again, insert laugh track here. But, you know, Molly Beck and Lawrence Andrea from the Journal Sentinel took kind of a head count of all of the Wisconsin Republicans who are putting some distance there. They quote former House Speaker Paul Ryan as saying, Trump's kind of a drag on our ticket. As he told WISN-TV, there's a retired Republican strategist, Brandon Scholes, a former chair of the state Republican Party, who said, quote, Donald Trump isn't the future of the Republican Party. He's the past. Who else do we have in here? Congressman Scott Fitzgerald, who is a former state Senate Republican leader and was one of the earliest Republicans to get behind Trump in 2016, you know, instead was focused on Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. Fitzgerald said, I'll just tell you this. The DeSantis thing is real. When I'm in the district, a lot of Republicans, and especially over the last couple of months, it's just been since the election, it's like the DeSantis thing is real. When asked if Fitzgerald would support a 2024 Trump campaign. He went on to say, I think if you ask a room full of Republicans right now, they might be split. I don't know where they would be, but it's kind of interesting to see that DeSantis now has grabbed so much of the limelight. And let's see, there's Congressman Glenn Grothman, who says, I'm sure there will be other candidates running. I'll be really interested to see what Ron DeSantis does. There's Brian Stile, Republican in the 1st Congressional District, and Tom Tiffany up north here in the 7th District, where Trump is popular, who both said they don't want to talk about this right now. They just want to talk about, you know, their own elections for leadership in the House of Representatives. And let's see, Andrew Hitt, former state Republican Party chair, said it was time for the party to search for other leaders. He said the Republican Party racked up disappointing election results in 2018, 2020, and now 2022. While we celebrate the policy successes of President Trump, it is time for the party to recognize that new, successful leaders will guide our party forward to victory and once again realize that America is a shining city on a hill. what a nice way of saying hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back no more. You know, Robin Voss has said that Trump is you know, no longer the face of the party, and on it goes. I mean, it's just person after person who, again, if Trump manages to pull it off and becomes the nominee, they'll get in line. I mean, they just will, unless there's really some kind of a strong, you know, current Republican who mounts some kind of a third party challenge. But who could do that without splitting the Republican vote? You know, let's say that there is a John McCain like figure, and I don't think that it would necessarily be Liz Cheney or Mitt Romney, because, you know, been there, done that with him. But even if there was somebody, I mean, who would pull away Republican votes from people sick of Trump, but also pull away enough Democrats and independent voters to actually have a chance to win the presidency? That's just not the system that we have right now, where any kind of an independent candidate can acquire that level of support, whether it's, you know, Ross Perot back in the 90s, John Anderson back in the 1980s, Ralph Nader, I mean, you name it. The history is just not on the side of those who want to consider an independent slash third party run. Would our system be better with multiple parties, multiple strong parties, third, fourth, fifth choices out there? Absolutely. But it's how you get there with, you know, two parties controlling all the rules right now. That is the big question. So it's Republicans and Republicans alone that will have to decide that, can they win if in the primary, when it's just all Republican voters, Trump wins, but in the general, you know, he may not. So I think it's Republicans are going to be doing a lot of messaging to their own voters ahead of the 2024 primaries, saying, you know, think long and hard about the direction you want to go in. Do you really want to go backwards to somebody who's old news? And that takes us to Scott Walker. I ask frequently, why does he insist on being to Twitter what Wile E. Coyote was to Saturday morning cartoons? I mean, you have never... Scott Walker has never had a take that was clever or thought-provoking on Twitter. Instead, he just gets dunked on as people either point out the hypocrisy in something that he said or what his real record is. Every post with him on Twitter is like stepping on a rake, and it invites reminders of his awfulness. And he did that earlier this week with this claim he made that all voting and all counting should be done on a single day, even though that's never been the case in this country, going back to its founding, you know, when people traveled in horse and wagon to go vote, and it took weeks for the votes to end up being counted. That's the way it has always been. And absentee voting has become a way to make voting more convenient to more people who have jobs, illnesses, other life conditions that keep them from voting in person altogether on a single day. And that would include Scott Walker himself, who, as people quickly pointed out, he had tweeted only a couple of days earlier about how happy he was to cast his absentee vote early for a Republican slate. He voted absentee this year. Oh, but not just then. Our friend Scott Ross noted that, you know, in the majority of elections since 2015, Scott Walker has voted absentee. So it's not like he's practicing what he preaches here. And it's just one more case of Republicans wanting to, you know, suppress votes when it's convenient for them.
Well, see, here's the thing. Scotty is a busy guy. Like, you know, not everybody has time when you're trying to look around and figure out how many summer homes to get. Maybe not in his case. I'm not sure exactly where he is compared to people like Tim Michaels financially. But, you know, sometimes you just don't have time to go vote on election day as long as you're voting red.
Right? And so, again, we ask if we really want to go backward, not just in people like Trump running, but even in people who are posting on social media that perhaps former Governor Walker can, you know, find some gainful employment at some point. I have been thinking a lot these past few days when I took some time off, took a nice little vacation in Austin, Texas, kind of cleared the cobwebs and, you know, jotted down a few notes. And I wanted to make sure after, you know, taking some time that, you know, things that I said during the campaign, would they stick? You know, were they said in the heat of the moment, or do I really, you know, do I really want to double down on them, as people like to say? And in this case, I want to talk about candidate debates for our elections. And yeah, it's time. It's time for the traditional candidate debate to go. Now, to be clear, Republicans killed them. Republicans killed these debates by being afraid to be held accountable for their positions, their quotes, their votes, their stunts, their promises. But they probably did us a favor, and it is probably time to build a better mousetrap. Because let's keep in mind what it should be when candidates are up on a public stage, on TV, radio, a public forum, what have you. This is a job interview. If you were up for a job, would it make sense for a potential employer to erect a stage and hold a debate, and you debate somebody else who's up for a job, and then the job is decided by which one of you has the best zinger that the audience applauds at or laughs at? You wouldn't do that. And we need to stop doing that with candidate debates. We need our newsrooms to create a uniform platform and a format that is from now on based in well-researched questions, where you can hold candidates accountable, ask as many follow-ups as necessary to tell the voters where exactly they stand, and if candidates say they won't show up, use that time anyway to highlight the video, the records, like I said, the quotes, the votes, the stunts, the positions, the promises, and say, this is what the candidate has put out, and here's what it would mean. And yeah, the candidate's not there, but your job isn't to put on a TV show. Your job is to provide a public service, which you would do by showing the candidate, at least in his or her record, if not there, live on stage. And one more thing, whatever we end up doing with these, no more live audiences. This isn't TV wrestling. We'll take one more break and wrap up our Thursday conversation after this on Up North News Radio. My old friend, every highway seen better days, the morning after blue, from my head down to my shoe. Every highway, me slip away on you.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
So all you folks out there, if you haven't registered to vote, register to vote. Get ready to vote. There are so many things on the ballot this November, at our freedom, our liberty, and our way of life. But we'll get to all of that this evening.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
Catch Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow at its brand new time, 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays.
The city of Shanghai started administering an inhalable COVID-19 vaccine. I hear a lot of you saying the same thing I had in my head. I don't know about that.
As long as they are not just crop dusting everyone.
Crop dusting, that's exactly what I think people would be fearful of. I would not trust the Chinese government. I would trust people who really know about inhaling something and the good that it does you. Of course, I'm talking about Dom and Crute.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Mainly cloudy skies tonight with lows around 24. Southwest winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Ample sunshine expected tomorrow, high of 36. Partly cloudy tomorrow night, lows level off around 20. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times Tuesday, with daytime highs approaching 41. 45 Wednesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Hite. Currently, it's 28 degrees.
A progressive voice for rural Wisconsin. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Have fun with the Spice Girls one more time because of this album. Going to number one on this date in, oh, whatever the heck it was. What was it, 1998 or something like that? I can't remember how old my girls were, but oh my goodness, we had this on 96. Repeat. Sure, we'll go with, sure, that would make sense. They were 6 and 8 years old at that point. And I mean, they'll still dance to it if I put it on. Not that I'm saying I have the album on my phone or anything. I wouldn't have that. Let's move on to Todd Alba, who's got the 8 to 11 slot that some other guy had before he got moved over to the 6 to 8 in the morning slot. And Todd started his show this Monday while I was away on my post-election break. So this is our first day where our shows are live and back-to-back forever and ever, or at least as long as they'll let us do this. Todd, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, but I am loving what I'm seeing here because something changed while I was away. And I know that Carrie Lake lost her race for governor, but the soft focus has now been put on the camera in the Madison studio. And Todd has now got that Carrie Lake Vaseline on the lens thing going here.
I know.
You look stunning. You look gubernatorial.
Well, it's God, no, it's just, you know, we're working on kind of the set. So, you know, I the Devil's Advocates logo is behind me. And it's like, I'm not that good yet. I'm not worthy of the Devil's Advocate logo. So my face is not on a lens. It's just behind me. So.
Oh, don't sell yourself short. I've caught, you know, Crudy on a bad day, and you know, you're there, and Dom, I've caught him on days when he didn't know what day it was. So, and he would plead guilty to that. So, well, you and I would be capable anytime those two want to take their own break to Austin or wherever they go. Now I suppose you didn't really have a break because your show just started this week. So you're like all fresh and ready to charge right into things.
We're set to go. A little tired, you know, but Aaron's been helping out, and Luke's been helping out, and Evan. So, you know, we have a great team here, and that's one of the things that I'm super excited about. Of course, your show has been going for a while and has a great following, and very thankful to be on the team with you and your experience, both as a legislator and in the private sector and in the journalism sector. It's a great combo, right? So I feel very fortunate to be part of the team on Civic Media.
Now, I know you had to do all this on Monday, but we'll do it again for the early morning sure. Listeners who might not have caught that, and do a little bio. As Todd alluded to, we both have worked in the state capitol at about the same time at one point or another. And Todd has the best description. He calls it a mutt resume. Todd, tell us a bit about the mutt resume.
So I was born and raised in Richland Center in Southwest Wisconsin, and got involved in politics at a really young age, at 12 years old, 1980. I was doing a school project and met our local Republican Party chairwoman, and got sucked in. And Steve Gunderson in the 3rd Congressional District for Congress, and Bob Caston, U.S. Senate, and Ronald Reagan all were running, and they all won. And I thought, well, this is easy. You know, I thought it was great. And little did I know. And so that met Dale Schultz in 1982 when he was running for state assembly, and thus began a long friendship and a long career kind of trajectory with Dale, working for him on and off 5 different times. He calls me the Billy Martin of the Schultz office, although I was never fired like Billy Martin. But worked for Dale, worked for U.S. Congressman Scott Klug for about 4.5 years until he retired. And then also back in high school, I got involved in radio at WRCO, which is now owned by Civic Media. And I worked for WRCO on and off for about 17 years and also did a communication program at UW-Platteville. So kind of communication, broadcasting, and politics have been my life.
That's awesome. And you do we best describe you as a former Republican staffer or a former Republican or a former staffer who's a sometimes Republican? Where what's your business card say these days?
So when we're trying to think of names for the show, I wanted to call it the Redemption Tour with Todd Allball. but Crudy said no. He just wanted to be called the Todd Allball Show. I think it's fair to say former Republican. You know, I was a Republican staffer for Dale and for Scott. Was the county party chairman of the Republican Party for Richland County on and off for a number of years. I am a twice defeated candidate for state assembly in the Republican Party in 04 and 08. But in 2011, during the voter ID bills that came up in the state Senate, I was in the closed caucus, and Pat knows what that is. Basically, it's a niche that the legislature has carved out, so your county board can't do this or nobody else, but the state legislature can go into a private meeting with the majority of the body and have these private discussions. And they were debating voter ID, and it basically came down to they were trying to take people's constitutional rights away. Dale walked out of that meeting, told me to stay there, and afterwards I went down to his office and said, I can't do this anymore. And it just became, even this before Trumpism, but the party had morphed into or become something that no longer represented who I was or what I believed. And so I walked away.
Well, and we call it Trumpism now, but fact of the matter is it could be fairly given other names. And the one that I would associate with it is Gingrich. You could call it, we're all a bunch of Gingrichists or something. Sure. Because I mean, again, there's no single point, but his reign really marked a change in Republicans, wildly successful in 94, coalescing around a message. But then it was, what happened after that, where you can just kind of see where things have changed in terms of norms and civility.
Yeah, I think, again, as a former legislator yourself, I'm not sure what the Democrat Senate caucus was like, but I can tell you on the Republican side, and I think it kind of started with Scott Jensen and Chuck Quala back in 1994 at the state level, where basically, maybe not to a T, but there was kind of this edict for new legislators on both sides. You can't even be seen down at the Avenue or a bar around Madison with the other side. Or on the Republican side, they were threatening committee chairmanships. And so it used to be, as you know, that a lot of business got done between legislators over a drink or over dinner. And then suddenly that wasn't allowed anymore.
No. And what a departure. I mean, Madison is so much quieter now. I was there recently, and I've talked to a couple of current legislators. And it's downright sad the way that you can't talk to somebody on the other side anymore for various reasons that we don't need to get into. But I'm sure we'll have plenty of time to talk about this on future shows. What are you going to be talking about today on the Todd Allball Show from 8 to 11?
Well, we have a great guest to start things off at 8:30, Christian Jensen, who is a special envoy to the United Nations for Denmark, is a former minister of foreign affairs for Denmark. And served as the Minister of Treasury for Denmark, been in Denmark politics a long time. We met back in the late 90s when he was part of the German Marshall Fellowship Program, and I was working for Scott Klug, and I've known him for over 20 years. He's an interesting guy. He's going to be joining us live from Egypt, where he is at the UN Conference of Climate Change, and talking to us about that. He was here during the midterm elections as an election observer. So he's going to give us his take on U.S. democracy from a European standpoint, and also talk a little bit about his travels around the world and his take on the Ukraine situation. He's met with Vladimir Putin's foreign secretary. So we've got that. And also Senator Tim Cullen at 10:30 talking about a new civility conference in Madison tomorrow.
Man, I got to step up my game. Todd Allball, good to talk to you. Have a great show.
I lucked out. I have good friends. Thank you, Pat. You're awesome. Thank you.
All right. See you later. Hey, follow me all day. Pat Kreitlow up north on Facebook. Pat Kreitlow on Twitter. Y'all have a great day. We'll see you on Friday.
are joined by the 57th Assembly District Representative, Lee Snodgrass. Thanks for being here.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
How do I need to adapt this based on what has changed since I first introduced it? Government does not move fast. I'm sure that's a shocker to all of you guys. Public policy doesn't change until public opinion changes.
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out The Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. only on WAUK 540 a.m. 101 FM.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media.